Thank you very much, Rabbi Blasky, for the kind words. Since the call of the summer is learning Hilchos Tzitzis, it was suggested that a little bit of time be spent examining one of the subjects that has come up within Hilchos Tzitzis that's gained a lot of attention over the last 25 or 30 years, and that is the question of Tchelis in Tzitzis. Really more than 25 or 30 years, it's about 130 years since the Radzina Rebbe, we'll speak about him later, sort of renewed the interest in Tchelis. But in the last 25 or 30 years or so in Eretz Yisrael, there's been a whole interest, and many, many Gedolei Torah have gotten involved, both in Eretz Yisrael and here. So I'm not here to pass any shilas, just to go over what some of the inyanim are, just to understand what exactly is it we talk about. That's why I entitled it, What Exactly is Tchelis, and Has It Been, quote-unquote, Rediscovered? When was it lost? Why was it lost? And so on, what exactly is going on? So if you look at the sheets, we know, of course, the Torah tells us in the Parsha of Tzitzis, in the end of Parsha Shlach, Bamidbar Parak Tes Vob, Sukim Lamed Zan Lamed Ches, there's no question. Maram Hashem Shalemur, Darbel Ben Yisrael, Matol Lamed Asulam Tzitzis, Al Kan Pevik Demo, Do Osom, Nosnu Al Tzitzis, Akonof Pesil Techeles. The Torah indicates clearly that there has to be a component of Tzitzis that has Techeles. That there's no doubt about. It's a Pasuk in Chumash. The question is, what exactly is Techeles? And we'll start by looking at what exactly is the color. What color is that? We know it's a color. What color is it? So Rashi there in Chumash, in Parsha Shlach, says in the second source, on Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Lamed Ches, Tcheles Tseva Yorok Shel Chilozon. Rashi seems to say that the color of Tcheles is a greenish color. Simple reading of Rashi, it's a greenish color. Actually, the Parsha of Tzitzis is not the first time in the Chumash that Tcheles is presented. Back in Parshas Truma, in the third source, when the Torah is describing the different materials that are going to be used for the construction of the Mishkan, so there the Torah tells in Parak Chav Hei, Psukim Gimel and Dal, the different things that are collected, V'zosa Truma Shatikum Eitam, Zohava Chesav Unachoshes, U'scheles, Yargoman, V'sola Ashona V'sheish V'izim. Tcheles is one of the items that's going to be used in connection with the building of the Mishkan, and the Kelim of the Mishkan, Big Day Kahuna, and in the Beis HaMikdash as well. And Rashi there also says, Rashi in Parshas Truma, in Source 4, says, in Parak Chav Hei, Pasuk Dalet, U'scheles, Tzemer tzavua bedam chilozon utzvo yorok. Rashi gives a little more information. He says there, it says, Parsha Shlach, it just says, from a chilozon, we'll have to define what that is. But it says, Tzemer tzavua bedam chilozon. It's dipped, it's dyed in the blood of something called the chilozon, utzvo yorok. Rashi again says that the color is green. That's Rashi in Chumash. Rashi in the Gemara, we know that in the beginning of Shas, in the Mishnayos and Brachas, so the Mishnah and Daf Tesla and Beis, the Gemara, Mishnah discusses what the earliest time is that one can recite Kriya Shema in the morning. And one of the measurements or one of the times presented is Mishayakir, when it's light enough out to distinguish between Tcheles and something else. So Rashi there on Daf Tesla and Beis and Brachas, on that mission, Source 5, says Tcheles again, he says Yoroku, V'korov Litzeva Karsi. It's close to the color of karsi. Karsi are leeks. It's a vegetable. Leeks. We know what color leeks are. They're green. So Rashi again says, Tcheles is yorok. It's close. It's similar. And that's why it has to be light enough out that with the naked eye you could distinguish between something in this color and some in that color. So that depends how light it is. You know, when it's a sharp distinction, let's say, between a dark color and a light color, it doesn't have to be quite as sunny. It doesn't have to be quite as light out. And if it's a little bit dark, so you can tell the difference in colors that are, there's a tremendous contrast, but colors that are similar has to be a little lighter out to be able to tell with the naked eye. So again, Rashi there in the Brachas also says Yoroku, and later on in Brachas, on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis in Source 6, Rashi says Tcheles Yoroku. There Yoroku means to talk about something else, but it's Mishaponov Yorokim Cholo. That's something someone sees certain things in a dream. Those are Gemaras in the end of Brachas, that certain visualizing certain things in a dream is representative of something or other. So it says there, Yarok, we speak about a person who's green, you know, I think in English also, a guy who's sick, we say, you look green, you know, I don't know if it's really green, but that's an expression. So that's a Rashi again, says Tcheles is Yarok. Ibn Ezra, on the Psukim and Parshas Truma, in Perkhof Hei, Pasuk Dalet of Shemos, in source number 7, he quotes one opinion, Tcheles Omer Yefesu Kidmus Shacharus. It's a black color. It's a very dark color. That's the one opinion Ibn Ezra quotes. It's a very dark color, a black type of color. And it's called Tcheles in the word Tachlis. I guess you assume that all the colors put together, if you mix all the colors together, it becomes black. So that's Tachlis, you know, the Tachlis Kol Atzoim. It's all the colors. However, at the end, Ibn Ezra writes, that's the opinion of this person he's quoting. He says, well, Anu Nismachal Rabbi Hussein Zichron Lebracha, but Ibn Ezra says, we rely on what Chazal tell us, Sha'amru Shehu Yorok. Again, he says like Rashi, says Yorok. Chazal, it's not that a dark color. Green is not like dark, not like black. So Ibn Ezra says, despite the fact that this Chacham said that it's the word Tcheles is related to the word Tachlis, it's all the colors together, it's black. Ibn Ezra says, not so. Ibn Ezra says, we're going to rely on Chazal. Tells that it's a green root semer, and it's also wool. So that's what the Ibn Ezra says. Now, the truth of the matter is that we need to understand that Yorok, in modern Hebrew, Yorok is green. Gal Yorok is a green light, and so on, a green signal. However, in Chazal, Yorok can mean different things. So, for example, in the there might be another definition of Yorok, which makes it closer to the bluish color. We think about Tcheles, we think of a bluish color. So there are other representations or other presentations which indicate that Yorok is closer to a bluish color. Tosus and Nida, off your test on the base, talking about different discharges from the body. So one of the colors that is mentioned is Yorok. There's no naturally, that I know of, no naturally green normal discharge from the body. So there Tosus points out on Divrei Maaseh Yorok, Akav Mahala Matame, that's neither your test and base source A. He says, Hi Yorok Kainu Ke'esrog, Velo Yorok Ke'karsi. Yorok here doesn't mean, it means more of a yellowish type of color. Okay, not green like a leek. Lo Yorok Ke'karsi. Dein Zenotel Admimus, again, this has to do with the discharge from the body. Yochus Nida, Ustam Yorok Kainu. And Tosus there says that Stam Yorok is a sort of a paler color, more similar to like an Esrog. Kedama Beluv Agozo Yorok Kikarsi. The Gemara in Sukkah has an expression about an Esrog, Yorok Kikarsi, green like a leek. So Tosus has a dik. If it says Yorok Kikarsi, that means Stam Yorok. When it doesn't say Yorok Kikarsi, it doesn't mean green like a leek. It's a different shade. It says Stam Yorok Lavachi. Otherwise, the Gemara wouldn't have to say Yorok Kikarsi. Yeah. Say it again? No, so the sugyan's a rabbit. The Gemara there says, when it's talking about a green esrog, it says Yorok Ke'karsi. So the implication is, when it doesn't say Yorok Ke'karsi, it's plain Yorok, then it means a different color. And a chanam, that's what the sugya is in Sukkah, yeah. So that's the tosis in Nida. Rashi in Gittin, on Daf Lamed Aleph Mid Beis, regarding a certain type of color, in source number 9, says, Tzeva Tcheles Dome Le'karsi. Okay, Rashi sticks to his guns. Rashi, green is green. Rashi, you know, all the Rashis that we saw, he says Yorok. So I gave a kvetch of a teretz, and maybe it means Yorok as opposed to Yorok Ke'karsi. So maybe Rashi doesn't really mean green. But look at Rashi in Gittin, Rashi seems to say that when I said green, I mean green, because he said, Tzeva Tcheles Dome Le'karsi. Right? He says it's like, it's close to, it's similar to green, like a leek. Now the truth of the matter is, you'll see in a moment, as Yerushalmi and also Medrash, I don't know exactly what you've read so far in Menachos, but there's the famous Maimer Chazal that the Tcheles is similar to this, which is similar to that, and eventually the similarities go back to the Kisei HaKovod. You read that Gemara already? We'll see. Anyway, but Yerushalmi has an interesting distinction in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis of Brochas, in source number 10, Tani B'Shem Remeir, Urisem Oso, Ein Ksiv Kan El Urisem Oso. So it's an interesting question, just understanding Pshat and Chumash. It says, Urisem Oso. What is it that you're supposed to see? Urisem Oso. Because if it was referring to the tzitzis, so tzitzis is lush in the cave, it would say Urisem Oso. Right? So that's what someone suggests. It's referring to the kanaf. The kanaf, psil tacheles. Kanaf is lush in zohar. That's Urisem Oso. So that's what Yishalmi is talking about. It says, Tanav Yishalmi, Urisem Oso, Enksiv Kano, Urisem Oso. Magid shakal makayim, it's a tzitzis kil makabop neishkinam, Magid shatcheles domel yam. Right? That we've heard it, right? Tcheles is domel yam. But then Yishalmi says, Vahayam domela asovim. The yam sometimes is green. Depends, I guess, where you are. If you go to the Caribbean, everyone talks about how the ocean is so blue. Other places, it looks green. When you're in a plane, you can see. So this Yerushalmi says, Tcheles domela yam, vahayam domela asovim. Vasovim domela rakia. Rakia domela kisa kov, rakisa kov, rakisa domela sapir, kedeksiv, va'ered at pasuk in Yechezkel, v'inei al rakia asher al rosh, hakuv kevin sapir, kamari demuskise, and so on, the vision of Yechezkel. Anyway, according to this Yerushalmi, there is a green component. It does speak to greenish because Yerushalmi says that it's domela yam, and the yam is domela asovim. Well, grass is green, the green grass, right? It's not, I guess in Tennessee they talk about bluegrass, but I mean, we usually assume that grass is green, yeah. Yeah, so that's now the sky's not green, for sure. So that's what it means. There's doma, there's stages. This is doma. It's similar. How similar is it? So, yeah.
The grass has begun on away.
Say it again? The grass seems to interrupt the flow, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what the Vilna Gaon says. The Hagos Hagro there in the Yerushalmi takes out the phrase Domel Asofen. Okay, so you're mechaven to the Vilna Gaon. He says it's not correct. However, the fact is in the Medrash, that's the Yerushalmi in Brachas Perek Aleph in source number 12. And so I mean, the Pneumos just explains what it's referring to. Anyway, but the Lashon and the Keva, it's referring to the Mitzvah. But anyway, but in the Medrash in Bemidbar Rabbah and Parshas Noso, Parshas Yudalot, Simon Gimel, in source number 12, so there it does say, has actually a different order though, maybe it'll make you feel a little better. Okay? Because the Medrash does mention Asavim. I don't know, do we have Hagos, Hagro, and all the Medrash? I don't know, maybe the Gro would take it out of there also. Could be that he would, you know, I mean, I have a cousin, some of you have heard, Rudinsky from Muncie. So he told me once went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky to ask him a question, something in the Rishalmi, and so just something, you know, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the stories, you hear these stories, this someone said he was there, so he believed the story. So he said that he asked him a question on Rishalmi, and Reb Chaim said, some Rishalmi in Zoroim somewhere, and Reb Chaim said, there's no such passion in Rishalmi. So he said he felt a little funny, he just saw it, he just looked it up. So he said, there's no such Yerushalmi. So he said, well, maybe the Rav has a Yerushalmi here, we can look it up. So he had on the shelf, those who have been in Rechaim's little room over there, we go to see him. So he had a Yerushalmi, takes a Yerushalmi, so he opens the Yerushalmi, and he comes to that passage, finds that passage. And Rechaim had written in his handwriting over that line, he said, Hagon mochek ze, v'ikar kedivre hagon. So therefore, there's no such Yerushalmi. Took it out of the, it was delete from the memory bank, so that's why it says no Yerushalmi. But anyway, but with leaving out the Yerushalmi, so the Medrash does say Asofim, but the order will satisfy you perhaps, because there the Medrash says, and so it's, again, it's a Parsha Dalet and Gimel, it says, Mipnei Shatcheles Domela Asofim, V'Asofim Domela Yam. Now we've read that's a little smoother, right? Because the grass, the sea is so greenish, right? Now you can go from there, V'Yam Domela Raki, etc. So, again, although the Gaon takes it out, the Gaon is the Gaon, obviously, but the phrase Asovim does appear in the Medrash, okay? And it looks a little bit like that in the Sugya, not Sugya and Sukkah, in source number 13, in the source, next source. Sukkah, Daf Lamed Aleph from the Beis, in the Gemara's discussion of Hayoro Kikarsi, so it says, Mashma Shemarehu, talking about the Esrog, Shemarehu Kitseva Shekorin Virid Bilaz. Virid is green, verdi, you know, Italian, it's green. And in fact, on the side of the page, you don't have it here, but if you look in the regular Shas and Sukkah, Lamed Aleph and Beis, so sometimes they put, when you have a foreign word, they put on the side of the page what it is in Yiddish. So there it says, green, Gimel Reish Yud Nun. Right? That's what it means. It's Virid Belaz. Vahi de Brochas, Mashmak Tzah Shadoma Le'irinda Belaz. But the Sukkah in Brochas says, seems to say that this Karsi is more like Irinda. And it quotes that Mishnah in Brochas, Tav Tesame Vizor, Mishiakam and Tchelos Karsi, Mashmak Demat Mishun and Zemizeh. Okay, and there, when it speaks about, on the next line, Irinda Bilaz, on the side of the page there, in the Yiddish, it says, blue. Beis, Lamed, Vav, Yod, Aleph, blue. Okay? And at the end, it speaks about the Yorok, again, about that Tsuganida and others, Yorok being like Chelmon Shalbeitza, like the yolk of an egg, which is seven, last two words are 13, Yala Bilaz, Yala, yellow. Right? That says on the side there in Yiddish, Gelb, which is yellow. So, in any event, in that Mishnah, it sounds like, you know, just again, the colors are mentioned, but there's one, certainly one opinion comes clear from Tosis that the color is, the color we're talking about is blue. The Gemara in the Bavli, we saw the Yerushalmi, the Gaon made a change in the Yerushalmi too, but in the Bavli, Asavim I never mentioned. Like, well, I want to point out from that Tosis already, you see that blue is already mentioned as a color of, as a color of Tehillah. The Gemara in Chulin, it's also in Menachos, Chulin Pei Tesam at Allah 14. The Sanya of Meir Omer Manishtana Tchelis Mikalat Zivonim. The Shetchelis Domele Yam Biyam Domele Rakia. Rakia Domele Evan Sapir. Sapir is sapphire, which is certainly a bluish color, right? The Evan Sapir Domele Kisa Kovot to deceive Ayuos Al Kesov Asachar Sraglo. That's the Pasuk in Mishpatim Kemase Livnas Has Sapir. Uchetzam Hashem Torah and so on. Uchsiv to Kamare Evan Sapir Dumus Kisei from the vision of Yechezkel again that we. I guess that's in the Haftarah of the first morning of Shavuos. Most people, unless you read an Haftarah, are not awake at that point. You know, there's a minig that the Rav gets, of the shul gets to read that Haftarah. So I'm the rabbi of my shul, so I read that Haftarah, so I'm awake. But most of the people aren't. But it does say the Kimari Evan Sapir, so it says sapphire. But anyway, so you have here, Tcheles Domel Yam, Yam Domel Arki, etc. So, like a progression without mentioning anything about Gris. Rashi explains in 15, Manishtan Tchelis is Kika Torah Letzitzis. What's the big deal about Tchelis? The Torah wanted Tchelis in Tzitzis. Again, Shat Tchelis Domel Yam. What does that mean? Shachilozun Min Hayam. This creature comes from the Yam. V'ol Achas Hashim Shana. That's a problem. Umaris Domo Domel Yam. It's blood. And it doesn't have to be blood the way we understand blood, but it means that whatever liquid or mucus or whatever it is that's inside the creature is Domel Yam. And again, the Rashi mentioned about the pasuk about sapphire, v'hu ketzem ha-shamayim, and so on. So that's certainly indicating that it's a bluish type of color, at least according to that Gemara. Rashi in Sota and of Yuzanim and Aleph, also the Gemara there quotes the same memory of Reb Meir, Tchelis Domayam, etc. So Rashi explains what it means is bal olam deinu shekol makayim tzitzis kilu hikbu pnei hashchina, and so on. And because you don't have a psuk, it's all doma. You know, there's musav in that also. You don't get right away to the kisak covered. You got to go in steps and so on. Anyway, tchelas doma rakia and so on. Doma la doma. It's similar to what is similar. That's how you can get other shades in. It's not exactly the same. Similar means it's like this. This is like this. It's like that. That's like the other thing. Eventually, you get where you're going. It doesn't have to be exact. That's what a kleyokar also says in Parsha Tzitzis, Parsha Shlach, Perak Dazov, Pasuk Lamed Ches. It says, "Shavitzvaim elu b'doma l'doma kol echad note b'tzivu l'doma lo." Each step is similar to the one that's next to it. Eventually, you get okay. But anyway, this seems to be talking more about a blue color. Okay, same thing in the Medrash and B'midah Rabbah and Parashat Dalet Siman Yud Gimel, because that's another place where Tchelis comes up. We spoke about tzitzis, and we spoke about the collections of the things of the Mishkan, but also in the end of Parashat Bamidbar, when the Torah talks about how they traveled, you know, and how to dismantle the Mishkan, and they moved from place to place, so at the square, that was the Masa B'nei Kos, and so on. So, what am I talking about, right? The end of the Bamidbar there, so it's, everything was wrapped and covered with different things, so among the different types of cloaks or whatever, garments that were used to wrap the different kelim, some of them made out of tchelis, except by the aron, it was the other way. Aron was the tchelis on the outside. You look carefully in the psukim, the end of Parshas Bamidbar, so there it says that usually it says the order of what was wrapped, it was double wrapped, triple wrapped, several layers of garments over the keli, over the vessel that was being transported. So the Medrash comments about the aron, that B'shasha Nosim, they would only put the Beged Kel Techeles and so on, because that's the Aron that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, that speaks about the significance of Techeles. I just want to mention one interesting side note regarding the green issue. If you've seen the process of dyeing the wool or making what some people assume today. From this murex snail is the actual tchelis. If you see the process of dyeing it, it does turn green for a while in the process. It's in my own eyes. In other words, eventually it ends up blue, but it does, in the process of the color taking to the wool, so it is greenish for a little while. So it could be that maybe that's a Rashi meant thing, I'm not sure. But in any event, that maybe the Yushalmi, it's asavim for a while, eventually it ends up a more bluish color. Rashi himself, in the end of Parsha Shlach, those who remember, Rashi, after giving his pshat, gives a whole drush at the end of Parsha Shlach. The Pesukim Tzitzis explained by Rav Moshe Darshan. Rashi goes back, right, to the very end of Shlach. So there in Source 19, he's quoting from Moshe Darshan. He says, what's psil techeles in Perek Tazov Pasuk Mem Aleph? But it's going back. It's not on that Pasuk. It's on the whole Parsha. So Rashi, at the end, quotes a Moshe Darshan. So Moshe Darshan says, al shem shichul b'choros. What is, because Targum shal shichul tichlo. The Makas b'choros in Mitzrayim, Roshichul means bereavement, right? Kasher shacholti, shacholti. Right, it's bereaved. So the Bechoros in the family, the Bechorim in Mitzrayim, at the time of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, were bereaved, and the word Tcheles is related to the Aramaic Tof and the Hebrew Shin, or sometimes interchangeable into Tof and Shin. So anyway, that's the relay. And Umakosam Haisa Belailo, V'chein Tzeva Tcheles Dome Letzeva Rakia Hamashkila Eis Erev. And what Rashi is getting at, again, this is not Rashi, Rashi said it's green, but the name of Moshe Darshan is, what color is Tcheles? He says it's the color of the sky, good, Tcheles Domer Kia. Yeah, but what color is the sky? The sky is not always the same blue, it depends, in the midday it's one color, towards evening it's a different color, in the middle of the night it's another color, it's all blue. We have an English also, we call it sky blue, midnight blue, right? I mean, there are different types of blue. So even if we're assuming that Tcheles is blue, not like Rashi said, but like the others seem to say, the other sources indicate, what is the blue? So Rashi in Shlach quotes a Moshe Darshan, is Tseva Tcheles Doma Letzeva Rakia Hamashchir Le'Eis Erev. As it begins to get dark towards evening. In other words, a darker blue than right now. Now it's the middle of the day. So if you look outside right now, it's a pretty clear day today, so it's a certain type of blue. But in the evening, when, towards nightfall, so then it's a different color. It's a deeper type of blue. So that's what Rashi says, the name of Rosh Hashanah, that's the color of of Tcheles. The Radak, among his other Svarim, Radak was a grammarian also, so the Sefer called the Sefer HaSharoshim of the Radak, where he goes through the Hebrew roots. So under Tof Chof Lamed, which is our word Tcheles, the Radak in source 20, the Radak says, Psil Tcheles, right? Tcheles are Gomen, who are Ain Shekarno Belaz Blov, whatever that is, but in the parentheses, a more Azuro, Azure, that's a bluish color, or Ultramarine. That's how the Radak, that's how they explain the Radak. Ultramarine is an aqua, bluish, or a little bit of greenish shade also. Ultramarine, and Uhut Seva Bida, or Tzavu Bidam Chilozanim, Simonim Yiduim. So the Radak also says it's more of an azure, but that's more like a noontime type of sky, noontime type of blue, as opposed to the late in the day type of blue, azure or ultramarine. The Chizkuni in Parshas Mishpatim on that pasuk when sapphire is mentioned, Kemas Elivnas HaSapir, that's the description of Mamre Har Sinai. They saw the Vayechzus Elokim and so on, the Nare Bnei Yisrael, whatever they were exactly. So they saw some kind of vision. So on commenting on that pasuk in Mishpatim in Shmos Perek Chav Dal pasuk Yud, Kemas Elivnas HaSapir, Yei Sapir Shachor Vizeh Sapir Kein Lovnu Hu Kein Tcheles Blue Belaz. Okay, again, it's blue. It's a bluish blue color. And what does it mean? In the end, it says, because it also says in the pasuk, Ke'etzem HaShamayim LaTalar, in the brightness of the sky, right? The etzem, the brightness of the sky. Says the Chizkuni is a Rishon, Talmud of Rashbo, right? Says, Hu Mare HaShamayim K'shem Zachim U'Tahorim Me'anonim. That's the color of the sky when it's bright and it's clear of clouds, a cloud-free day. So again, that's a more of a sky blue. That's how Ben Abachai also writes in Parshas Tetzav in 22. Ben Abachai in Perek Chof Ches, which most pasuk vav regarding the big day Kahuna, it says also so Eifor Hatcheles Uatzem Ratzavua Keetzem Hashamayim. Right, Keetzem Hashamayim. That's the brightness of the sky. So according to all these Rishonim, they're not talking about anything green. Right, maybe a little bit from the Radak, is ultramarine, has a greenish shade to it, but what these were shown him, the Chizkoni, the Ben Abachai, these Mefarshim HaChumash are saying that it's certainly a blue type of color. And that's really the implication of the Gemara. Again, we can explain Rashi, those who suggest that it does become green for a while, maybe that's what Rashi is referring to, I'm not sure. But the Gemara itself seems to imply that way. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, and of Samach Aleph Mebeis, Gemara says the following, Omar Rava, Lama li kasa rachmana yitzias mitzrayim beribis and yitzias mitzrayim gabe tzitzis. How come? And it says Rabbi Mishkolos. There are certain times we have a mitzvah in the Torah, and the Torah concludes the presentation of the mitzvah by saying something like ani hashem asher tzitzis gameretz mitzrayim or something. What's it got to do? It says it by ribis. Says it by Mishkolos, right? So regarding tzitzis, which is our topic, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu ani hu shivchanti mitzrayim ben tipa shel bechor letipa sheina shel bechor. I, when I came to Mitzrayim to do Makas Bechoros, I was able to tell who was a Bechoros. And you may remember Rashi and Chumash. It says, Ain Bias, Asher Ain Shameis. There were certain people, some of the women maybe slept around. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu could figure out who was a Bechor, who was not really a Bechor. I was able to distinguish, and I'd be precise, and to be Mavkin Ben Tipas Shal Bechor, Hibash Shein Shal Bechor. Aniu Sha'osid Lipora, Mimi Sha'tola, Ma'oso Benachri. Okay, Umalbo, someone who saw Beribis, someone who cheats regarding Ribis, and someone who cheats regarding weights, he puts salt or whatever it is on the scales to tip the scales in a certain way. And umimisha tola kala ilon bebig dova mertchelasu. Somebody who ties something called kala ilon. Ilon's a tree, or at least a bush. I mean, some type of a vegetable or vegetation derivative onto his strings and claims that it's tchelas. Well, if somebody could get away with tying kala ilon onto his garment and claim that it's tchelas. If I walked out, and it's wearing too, I walked out and I had red, and I'm saying, by the way, this is tchelas. I'm not real tchelas. I painted it myself. However, apparently you wear kala ilan, you can get away with it. So apparently whatever this kala ilan is, it's similar enough to tchelas that it could fool the casual observer. So Rashi explains, in 24, Rashi says, kala ilan tseva hadomel et tchelas. It's similar, it looks like tchelas. Rachmana amar psil tchelas. What's the problem? Tcheles, dom of yikarim. Tcheles is very expensive. It is very expensive, even today. All right, tcheles is dom of yikarim. Shetzavu v'dam, because the chilazon is rare, it's hard to get, whatever the reason, it's expensive. Kala ilan, anybody who's got this plant in the backyard can make it, many dyes come from plants, you can make a dye from the plant, and it's much cheaper. So who knows the difference? I could wear it, right? Or you have an unscrupulous Tchela salesman or Judaica store owner, and he said, oh, I have Tchela here. Meanwhile, he manufactured it for a few cents, but now he's selling it for $100 or whatever. It looks like Tchela and so on. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, yeah, you can, maybe you can't, but I can tell the difference. So that's the Aniyah Shemal Kechmash, just like I was Mavchin between the Tipa, the Bechor, and the Tipa, not Bechor, I can also be Mavchin between someone who puts authentic Tchelas on and someone who puts on the cheap imitation, you know, Tchelas. So that indicates that Kala Ilan, whatever exactly Kala Ilan is very similar to Tchelas, so similar that it's very hard to tell apart. So the Nemuke Yosef, there in Bab Metzia, 25 in the pages of the Rift of Lamed Dalam and Aleph in the back of the Bar Mitzvah. It's Kala Ilan Tseva Adom L'Tcheles, like Rashi says, right? And at the end he says Ilan Indi Bilaz. Okay, what is this Kala Ilan Indi? Or he quotes from the Aruch Indiki. We call that Indigo. Okay, Indigo. I just got yesterday an email or whatever it is that one of the credit card companies now has a new thing called an Indigo Platinum card. I don't know how it's Indigo and Platinum. It's an Indigo Platinum card. I guess it's a higher level. I sent my brother-in-law, works in Tchelas, I sent him, maybe you should come up with a Tchelas credit card. You know? But they had just yes, they came. Indigo. To, you know, so we know what indigo is. Indigo, that's what the Rishonim, that the Nemuke Yosef and the Aruch are saying that it's indigo. So, you know, now, again, full disclosure, Rabbeinu Yonah, which I printed the next source, Rabbeinu Yonah on the Riff in Brochus, the Avdalim Rebbeis on that Sugya of Mishayakir, so he seems to say... that Tchelas is like Karsi, okay, and you can read it yourself. I mean, I don't want to emphasize it, but I do want to be clear that Rabbeinu Yonah would not agree. Okay, but you know, it's almost impossible to satisfy everybody, right? Rabbeinu Yonah is one of the Gedolei Rishonim, so I'm not going to dismiss his opinion. But he seems to say that you know, Tchelas is like Karsi and so on and so forth, and that's what, so he understands Kala Ilan differently also, apparently. But in any event. You have the Nemuke Yosef, you have the Aruch, who say that Kala Ilan is blue, an indigo color, and it's so similar to Tchelas that the average person wouldn't be able to tell it apart by looking at it or without, you know, without doing some sort of, I guess, some scientific kind of experiment. If you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Tzitzis Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, the next source. The Rambam writes, Tchelas amur b'tor b'chol mokum hu atzemar tzavur kifosuch or kifisuch shebekichol, it's a variegated type of blue, a sky blue, b'zui demus harakia haniris le'ein ha'shemesh b'tiaro shel rakia. That's how the Rambam passed in Hilchos Tzitzis Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph. Similarly, when talking about the Klei HaMikdash, the Big Day Kahuna, the Rambam also writes, Hilchos Klei HaMikdash Perek Ches Halacha Yud Gimel, 27, Uschelas amur, 28 rather, Uschelas amur b'chol mokum, again, clearly talking about blue. So the Rambam understands that it's blue and that it's sky blue, like those sources that we saw again, which is like indigo and so on. There's another statement the Rambam makes in Perek Beis Halacha Ches. I don't know if you discussed that sugi yet in the shiurim here, but source number 29. The Rambam says Talish Yikula Aduma. What if you have a garment that's all one color? Okay, you did that already. So garments all one color. So you have to make the lovan strings have to be match that color. Min kanav, I discussed it already. Yeah, okay. So anyway, so that Rambam, but the Rambam says, if it's kula tcheles? That was Korach's question, right? You had the beged that's kula tcheles. So it says, oh, se lovan shalom yishar tzivon, we can make it, the lovan shouldn't be tcheles, because the tcheles should be tcheles. So what should the lovan strings be? However many there are, that's another machlokes Rishonim maybe discussed, but whatever there is, so you, the lovan strings should be any other color chutz min ha-shochor, m'nei shu nira ketcheles. The Rambam here says black. That's a little bit of a stira, perhaps, because the Rambam here says that it's a dark that looks like Tcheles, and the other Rambams, he said it's more like sky blue. But still, I guess it's darker than other color. I'm not sure. That's a point. So maybe the Radvaz bails us out in a tshuva in Chelek Hey, Simon Mem Ches, the tshuva of Radvaz. He writes, Yesh Homa Sheyesh Geven Tcheles Shul Shachar, but Yesh Eino Shachar Kol Kav. There are different shades. There are different shades of tchelas. It's not, you know, we shouldn't make too big of this. Sometimes a little darker. You can see today people who wear tchelas, sometimes a little darker, sometimes a little lighter. It doesn't come out exactly the same. You know, the colors can be, you know, the Radvaz is basically saying that within the realm of what's okay, there are different shades. That's how the Radvaz may be able to help us out. But again, it's important also to understand something about the tchelas color, and that is that it stays fast, and that's, we're going to explain also why Kala Ilan's no good. The Rambam says in 31, Parak Beis, Halacha Aleph, V'atcheles hamur b'tzitzis tzorek she'etei tzviyos ha'tzvi yidu she'omedes b'yofya v'lo tishtane. Yeah. Yeah. The car, what? No, he's saying that Karsi is in the goat. That's what I'm saying. Right, right. Well, it has to be because the Gemara about Metzia, but I'm just saying he's told, but it's a greener color. I mean, I wanted to bring it.
I thought he said the two different definitions were Karsi. The Asian version, the Karsi is a leaf. And he said, that's not what it is, it's something else.
Oh, maybe you're right. I hear what you're saying. No. I thought he meant to mean Sevesh Akar in Hindi, that Hindi is indigo, right? That's the same. That's what, right, but Mishiyaki means it's Tchelos Akar, so Tchelos is not going to be that color.
It's close.
Okay, I hear. I always say, don't, okay, I hear. Could be. And it's the way the Gemara says, it seems to be exactly the way the Mikyosev learns, the color is exactly the same. You can't tell it apart. You know, the average person. Okay, enochalam. Okay, good. So, I just want to be, fully honest. I've been, yeah.
Extinguish in the morning to light enough since it's a film, etc.
Yeah.
So all the bands, you can fit all of these. If it's a big difference, then it's
enochalam, right.
That. So we can't prove anything from that.
No, you're right. I'm not worried about this Zman Kriyashma now. Yeah, I'm not talking about Zman Kriyashma now. I'm just saying that they use the expression. Right, I understand.
Because that Gemara could be learned.
Differently, right? Early or later, yeah. Okay. Anyway, just the Rambam here in Parak Beis Halacha Aleph in 31 is telling us an important point that the color remains fast, and it happens to be, and the dye has to be color fast, and it has to take and not fade. See, that's what some say the difference in kala ilan is a cheap imitation. So, like any other cheap imitation, after a while, it fades. So you had a guy who sold kala ilan, he went to town. Yeah, but by the time your thing faded, he was long out of town. So you're out the $50 whatever you paid him trying to save money, right? So that's the point. But that's the Rambam point. So omedes v'lo tishtane, okay? And therefore kol shalom nitzva ba'osu to your apostle tis afal pishu kein arakia. Rambam says even if you have another color, it's exactly the same, but it's not possible because it has to take fair, it has to be a color fast dye that stays. There's another sugi in Menachos which really says that. I mean, that's the Rambam we got it from. The Menachos on Mem Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara discusses how to tell between Tcheles, a whole kind of chemical test. I don't know if you saw that Gemara or not, but the top of the page of Mem Gimel and Aleph has a whole, you put this and you mix that and whatever. So, and it says, Ifrit Chazusa Psula, Velo Ifrit Chazusa Ksheira. If the color fades, then it's no good, because then it means it wasn't fast. It didn't stick to the wool. Okay? Velo Ifrit Chazusa Ksheira, but if not, then it's kosher. Rashi explains, Niskalkel Hamara, Rashi in 33, Niskalkel Hamara, this is again, Menachos Mem Gimel and Aleph, Nifrit Chazusa, Niskalkel Hamara Psula, the Kala Ilanu. If the color fades, then it's a Simit Pasul, that's Kala Ilan. Right? That's the nature of it. Okay, now, some people have pointed out, scientifically, that the indigo plant, indigo is a plant derivative, the indigo plant and what some people assume is Tcheles today, I wear that Tcheles, Rav Shechter wears that Tcheles, and so on, others, Belson's Horach Award, and Menaretz Yisrob, Zalman Lechem, other Gedolim, so that Tcheles, molecularly, Kachashan the snail called the Murex, and molecularly, the molecular makeup of the Tcheles is exactly the same as the indigo plant. Some want to say that's a taina, because if it's exactly the same, so how could it be, Rashi says, if the color, if it's molecularly exactly the same, so how's one going to fade, one's not going to fade, if it's exactly the same. So the truth of the matter is, it is molecularly the same, but because one is a plant derivative, one will have the plant derivative, and I'm not an expert in science by any stretch of anyone's imagination, but the fact that it's a plant derivative, there are certain distinctions we're able to see that come up. Because one is a plant and one is a creature derivative. So, and in fact, you could say it the other way. The Gemara seems to imply that only HaKadosh Baruch can tell the difference. Satake. If it's molecularly the same, only HaKadosh Baruch can tell the difference. Why can't I tell them you can tell the difference and so on? Only HaKadosh Baruch can tell the difference. Yeah, at least by looking at it. That's how the sugya starts, right? Yeah. That's the Gemara, but Rashi makes the distinction though between he says if Niskal Kalamar, then it's similar to Kalilah. That's all I'm saying. So that implies there is a difference in Kol Ilan and regular Tcheles.
Yeah.
Did any of
these sources say that from a creature?
We'll get to that in a second. That's the next step. That'll be the next thing. So I just want to mention one interesting thing, though. It's important to, I think it's important to consider. Because if you're going to, if in fact Kol Ilan is indigo, which is what the Aruch says, and maybe Rabbeinu Yonah agrees, and what the Namuk Yosef says, and so on. If Kol Ilan is indigo, and the Gemara warns against tying with indigo because you know it looks like Pchelis and so on, and it's molecularly the same as the Pchelis on this Murex snail that they use today, if we want to assume that the Murex snail's fact is not correct, that's some tana, not everyone agrees, the Murex snail is not correct, so you have to wonder, so the Gemara should have warned against using the Murex snail also. I mean, as if there is a third thing that produces the color that's taka, the trellis of the Torah, that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, and it warns against using indigo, it should also warn against using trellis from the Murex snail, that also looks the same. And if you argue that the Murex snail, maybe people don't know about it, but that, you know, again, the archaeologists know they did know about it. Whether it was used to tzitzis or not, so that's the contemporary debate. But that it was known about in ancient times, that it was a known dye in ancient times, that's clear. So one could argue that the Gemara should have, if the Murex snail was incorrect, and it's the same color as indigo, and the Gemara warned against using indigo because it looks just like it, should have warned against using this also. Just say, all right, yeah.
Found out so easy to get. People who are tricksters can just plant.
It's easier to get it. In a chanami, yeah, I wouldn't call it an ironclad dry, but it's still. But again, it was known in the dying world. That's what I'm pointing out.
Cheaters were around
when? Okay. Now, anyway, or what the common practice of the cheaters was. Good. If you take a look at the next source in 34, the Rambam is an important Rambam because it does raise an issue. And again, I want to be full disclosure, even though I said I wear the Murex Tcheles personally. But there's a Rambam that at some point was a problem, Hilchos Tzitzis Perek Beis Halacha Beis. Because the Rambam says, Kes Tzoven, he says, you know, how do you dye the Tcheles and so on. So it tells you the process. And anyway, first of all, he says on the second line, there's an issue, V'chakach v'in dam chilozen v'hu dag. So he says chilozen is a dog, which we'll translate for the moment as a fish. So that, hold that thought, we'll come back to that. And it says, Doma enalein et chilez, v'domo shachar kidyo. Okay, it's black like ink, that's pretty black. So there are those who point, this Rambam is a problem, because like I said before, it's green for a little while. To say that it's the black like ink is a powerful statement that really is, at some point it is a kasha against what they use the Murex snail today, or even the Radzina we'll talk about, but it's not black-like, so this Rambam is a problem. Again, the Rambam is a problem, but it's not clear what the Rambam's makor is. Okay, the Rambam, but we don't know what his source is. Rav Herzog, is an Rav Herzog, or Rav Isaac Alevi Herzog, was the first Rav Rashi in the state of Israel, right, in the Medina. Rav Kook was the Rav Rashi. Rav Kook didn't live to see the Akamas HaMedina. The Rav Rashi at the time of the Akamas HaMedina, and for about 11 years afterwards, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Levi Herzog, originally from Ireland. And he was a self-educated genius. He corresponded with Gdolim. His time, nobody knew who he was. He was a young kid, he was a genius of a person. And he got a PhD from the University of Dublin, I believe, or Ireland, or maybe it's the same place. Dublin's in Ireland. And his topic of his PhD thesis, which you can get, I have it at home, it's printed in his book in English, called Hebrew Porphyrology, a term I think that he coined. It talks about the colors of Tcheles. He knew science. He was a big genius. He knew science. So it's called Hebrew Porphyrology, describing what's Tcheles and what's Argoman and so on, how you're making, what the bonding of the chemicals and so on and so forth. That was his PhD thesis. An unusual genius of Herzog. So, in fact, when he ran for Rav Rashi, the Haredi population didn't like him because he had a secular education. And I think there were signs around Yerushalayim that said, Yerushalayim, lo in this bowl, Rabbi Doctor, as the Rav Rashi. We're not going to tolerate a Rabbi Doctor being the Rav Rashi. But he won the election anyway. Anyhow, so Rav Herzog was a great, great genius. Rav Herzog did a lot of work, and he talks about this Rambam. And he says, the Rambam doesn't have a Makor, as you pointed out, as you were saying, in the Gemara. So he says, but there's a statement. Aristotle, ancient people talked about coloring. Dyeing was a big industry in ancient times, colors and so on. There's some extent today also. So he says that Aristotle is such a thing, and we know the Rambam was familiar with many of the works of Aristotle. So he thinks maybe the Rambam got it from there. Okay, so, you know, it's a Shver Rambam, at least to some extent. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Tshuva, actually deals with this issue in Igros Moshe, indirectly. Igros Moshe, Yerodei Chelek Beis Siman Kuf Lamed Gimel. He says the whole din, what do you mean tchelet? Because the Gemara says you take the tchelet, so the Gemara says you mix it with all kinds of other stuff. So, you know, so how's that? Then it's not the tchelet. It's tchelet mixed with all kinds of things. He says, no, that was the halacha. That, in effect, is the halacha. The tchelet is the result of, you know, mixing things. In any event, the Rav Moshe suggests that, yeah, initially it's black, but when you mix in the shachar kidyo, maybe that's what the Rama means, initially it's like that, but eventually once you mix in the other things that the Torah Rapeh tells us to mix in, so then it becomes a bluish color. That's the Rama. I mean, again, that's a Moshe's solution, or possible solution to the... to this issue, but okay, it remains a little bit difficult. It is dark. Again, I've seen it. The color, the mucus, is a darkish color. I wouldn't call it dark like ink, but you know, I wanted to be fair and mention that, Rambam. Now, we've been talking all this, so much about the color. The next issue I want to look at is the creature that someone we mentioned before. If you take a look in source number 36. So, what exactly does it have to be? So the Tosefta in Menachos, Paraktes Halacha Tazayin, says Tcheles Ein Kshera Ela Min Chalazon Hevi Shalom Min Chalazon Psula. Tells us for sure that Tcheles has to be not from a vegetation, a plant, or whatever it is, but has to come from Chalazon. Otherwise, it's possible. That's a Beferish of Tosefta. So now we have the obvious question: so what exactly is the Chalazon? Okay, and we know it has to come from Chalazon. What is the Chalazon? Yeah. Oh, so the
what's
yeah.
the name in English?
That's a good question. I have to. I don't know. The snail. Well, if you hold the snail, yeah. Well, that's a further question. That was whether tchelas is makir the loven. I mean, if you don't know, if you use the wrong thing, I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I have to look it up. I have to see what the conversion of Tosefta say. Yeah. Now, we know it has to be from a chalazon. So, what exactly is the chalazon? So, we have the chalazon appears elsewhere aside from Michlis Tzitzis. We look in the Sugyan Shabbos. Daf Ayin Hayim and Aleph says, Ton Rabbanon Hatzod chalazon Rapotzen Chayav El Achaz. You trap a chalazon on Shabbos and you kill it, you crack it, you know, crack it open. You chayav only one and a chayav El Achaz. Rashi says the next verse 38. What does Hapotza mean? Dochko biyod of sheitzidom. You could squeeze it. You know, you could take the thing and again, I've seen it done. You can just squeeze it with your fingers. You don't need a scalpel or anything. Just to squeeze it anyway. So ain't a chayav al achas mishum tzeda. Aval apziya lekachir. Rashi, you only chayav al tzeda. Okay, not apziya. Bihuda omer chayav shtayim. Sharbi al omer apziya bechal disha. Omer lo ain apziya chal disha. Machlokes again. A hilchos Shabbos issue. Something may be familiar. When you extract something, you squeeze something out. There may be disha. No questions about bal chayim. Anyway, but that's the sugya in Ayin Hamad. One thing that emerges clear from that sugya is the chalazon is a living creature. Because otherwise you can't talk about tzeda, right? I mean, so you see from that Gemara that it's a living creature. But what's interesting is, as a side point, is some want to say, well, if you're talking about tzeda, so what do you mean tzeda? The snails, as the expression goes, they move like a snail, right? So what kind of tzeda do you need? I mean, you know, you walk over, bend down, and pick it up. What kind of tzeda is that? It's not mechus or tzeda. Again, that's a Shabbos sugya. But the fact is that, first of all, as I point out, Tosus, in 39, Tosus, Shabbos, Ha'anemet Beis, Duras HaTzar Chilozen, says, Enechanami, he quotes Yerushalmi that says, Tzar Chilozen is not Mechayv Mishum Tzeda, because you can't call it Mechusar Tzeda, right? I mean, you know, Tzeda is only a problem if you have, the thing has to be trapped. If it's right here, what kind of Tzeda? I mean, I get that Tzeda means you have to trap it, not to trap snails, right? So some want to say that that's a raya against assuming the chalazon is any kind of a snail, because you don't really need to do tzeda. I'm not sure that's really a great raya. The truth is that the Gemara later in Shabbos, Kuz Anam and Aleph, in the Mishnah of Shmona Shratzim, you know, some of those are slow-moving things too, whatever the Shmona Shratzim are. You know, there are eight Shratzim, there's rodents, different types of different opinions of what the eight are, but some of them don't move too fast either, okay, and yet tzeda does apply. Rashi, the Gemara, the Mishnah speaks in Kuzam and Aleph, Shmona Shratzim Torah, Hatzodon Rachov, and it said it speaks about Tzeda, and so some of them aren't fast moving either. In fact, one of them may be a snail or a worm. Other times, they got different opinions of what they are. So Tzeda. Also, the fact is that if I want to go on the shore and I see a snail, so I don't have to do too much Tzeda to get it. But if you want to get the whole batch, you know, and so then you do have to trap them. They're not all just lying there waiting for you to pick them up. You know, you have to put in nets or something like that to catch them. So there is a mice at Seda. In fact, that's the name. You want to say something? Sorry, yeah. Oh, that's what you say, yeah. If you get a one or two, okay. And some of us have been to the beach. You see a snail, you pick it up. Big deal. Okay, but you get them in large quantities, how about it? You have to trap them. In fact, that's the next sugya. Also, Shabbos sugya. The Gemara talks about in Ayin Dalin Beis, okay, talks about Tzodei Chilozon. Again, it speaks about trapping Chilozon. And the Gemara says, Allah 41, Ela Marova, Vitam Rilosha, Kain Tzodei Chilozon, Koshun Matirin. They had to tie, you know, that's the Malach of Kosher, to tie ropes. So they would make nets, Koshun Matirin. Right? Rashi said, Tzodei Chilozon, Spot Chilos Bidomo, Vu Kamin Dag Koton. Rashi says, a small fish, we'll get back to that. Koshun Matirin, Shekol Rishoso, Sashurim, Ksharim, Ksharim. Again, a kesher shakama. Those who learn Shabbos, you know, you make a net. You've seen nets, the good types of nets. It's ropes that are tied, taut, not like a, probably not with a bow, strong enough, Boy Scout knots, whatever, tied together. That's how you make these big nets, and you trawl the bottom of the, you sweep the bottom of the ocean. That's how you come up with lots of snails and other junk that comes up with it, and you sift through and you keep what you want, and you throw the hubcaps or whatever's back. But the point is, you have that's the malacha of kosher. And again, it speaks about tzodei chilozon, and they would, or sometimes, I remember seeing this once. Once went for vacation to Maine. So in Maine, they have off the coast of Atlantic, they trap lobsters. What they do is, you ever see that? They have these little boxes that they put all the way down on the bottom of the other boxes can be made out of anything. I guess they put bait in it. And the lobsters cool in, and then you pull the box, it goes way down to the bottom, and then you pull the box up with it. So that's the rope. That's also kosher. You tie the rope. In other words, the metal of the box can be metal, it can be made out of something else. That's what traps the lobster in it. But when you pull it up, it's rope. So that's what that could be done for chilozon also. Anyway, but that also indicates, again, chilozon is, at least it's for sure, some type of living creature that people would go ahead to trap. Now, we just saw that Rashi said that it's a type of fish. The question, what exactly, Taka, is the chilozon? What type of creature is it? So again, Rashi said in 42, I'll show you again, tzadei chilozon, hu kamin dag katon. It's a type of a fish. That's Rashi. Tosus in Shabbos Ein Gimel Beis, Tosa speaks about Disha with Gedule Karka. Again, we don't spend time on it, not on Shabbos. But he also says that Chilozon Shudag. He also says that it's a type of a fish. That's a question, but that's cool. Some say Disha is only by Gedule Karka. So our animals and fish, those who learn Hilchos Shabbos may remember, are also called Gedule Karka. After all, they live off the food of the ground. So that also called Gedule Karka for Shabbos purpose. Again, not our topic now, but it says that it's a dog. Okay, so it's Chilozon Shuhu Dag. That's certainly a possibility, and that's what it looks like both from Rashi and from Tosus. Now, Tosus, one other important point from Tosus and Shabbos, Ayin Hamad Aleph, that was Tosus, Ayin Gimel Beis, Dibos Mefarik, on Ayin Hamad Aleph, Dibamasa Kiyeche, Dilitzel Tzivei, Rabbeinu Tam says, Dam Chiloz, and Rolot Tzviya Mifkad Pocket. It's not Dam in the sense of, like an animal has blood that goes through the system, or what we call blood flow, or whatever, that goes through veins. You know, different creatures, the word dam doesn't mean blood necessarily. We use the term blood. Rather, says the Rabbeinu Tam here, it's a type of, I guess, a mucus, right? It says that mifkad pocket, it's in like some kind of a sack or something. You squeeze it out. So blood doesn't have to, because they're bloodless creatures that have different type of, makeup. So the fact that it's blood does not mean that it's a mammal or that has blood the way we understand blood, like an animal. So don't get excited. It could be a fish. Okay, look, there's no din of melicha by fish. Fish don't have blood in the same sense. But it's mifkad pocket. It's inside. Okay, so these sources indicate that it's a type of fish. In the so-called Masechtas Ketanas that are printed usually in the back of, I guess, the end of Nezikim, the shorter Masechtas, not really the Brises. So in what's called Masechtas Tzitzis, in the next source 45, it says in Halacha Yud of Parak Aleph, Tzitzis Shein Tzovin Tcheles Abichilazin Chilazin Lamahu Dome Brioso Dome Ladag. Its bria, its anatomy, is similar to a fish. Vegufo doma l'rakia, but its perhaps its color is similar to the rakia. And the Gemara Menachos quotes that. The next source, 46, Gemara Menachos quotes Mem Dalam and Aleph Tana Bonach Chilozon Zel Gufo Doma Yamu Briyaso Doma L'Dag. And again, you have this idea that it's like a fish. Rashi explains in the next source Mem Dalam and Aleph and Menachos Gufo Mare Gufo, its appearance, and so on. Okay, it says Olam in Haaretz, it comes out of the land. That's a problem. Rabbi Yehuda points it out already in Tshuvas Tinyana, Aruch Chaim Simon Gimel. Okay, the Rambam also seems to say that it's a fish. In the next source, in 48, I'm sorry, my numbers are mixed up here. So 48, very important comment for the Rambam before. The Rambam also said it's a dog. Good. However, dog does not necessarily have to mean fish. the way we speak of a fish. Okay, because again, we should assume that the chilazon is a dog, so to say that it comes from a murex snail, it's not a fish. However, the Vilna Gaon already points out in his commentary, El Yorabah, on a mission in Kalim, Paragud Mishnah Aleph, the Vilna Gaon, in verse 48, writes, Shekol Shebayam Min Daghu, Kol Demus Shielo. Any sea creature can be referred to as a dog. So that already opens up the possibility. There are many sea creatures which we wouldn't classify as a fish necessarily. You can call it a snail, you can call it, I don't know what else, other types of things that are not fish, algae or whatever, that are not fish, but they're sea creatures. So the Gaon is telling us, broadening our definition of dog. Mimela, now you can say that you don't have to say that it's a fish, absolutely. And there are other indications that would point to the fact that it's perhaps not a fish the way we understand fish, but rather the way the Gaon says that it's a fish. So, for example, there's an Ibn Ezra and a Pasuk in Tillim. Perek Nun Ches Pasuk Tes. Kemo Shavlul. Shavlul is a snail. No doubt about it. That's a word that's a Pasuk in Tillim. And Ibn Ezra says, B'divya Kadmon Zal Bora Shavlul V'hu Kidmus Dag Shebamayim. Dag Bamayim. Ibn Ezra is obviously before the Vilna Gaon, but he also says that's a fish. Fish means an aquatic creature, marine creature, that it's in the ocean, it's in the sea, so therefore it doesn't have to be necessarily talking about what we call a fish. There it's talking about a snail, and he says, Shayimas, but it leaves some type of a secretion as it goes. That's Ibn Ezra. There's Yerushalmi in Shabbos Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. We'll see something else. It's a creature, but it seems to be a boneless creature, because the Yerushalmi asks, Amr Shimon Chalafta, does the chilazon have, it's a rhetorical question, b'tmiyah, does the chilazon have a gidin v'atzamos? Right, it's talking about whether you can kill it on Shabbos. That's how it comes up over there in Shabbos. Is it considered to be alive? Is it like a kina? I don't want to go with that whole sugya now, but a kina, the lice or whatever. So you kill it on Shabbos, you're not. It's not called until Shishna and Shama because it doesn't have the same ordinary type of life. And we know that there were certain issues that emerged from there, grew out of the ground, whatever it was. But the Yerushalmi discussed that as well in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel in 51. So therefore, the Gemara quotes about chilazon, you're not chayv until Shishna because it doesn't have gidin v'atzamos. So we would call that a boneless invertebrate, I think is a technical term, right? So it's a boneless invertebrate. That's what the chilazon seems to be. So it doesn't have to be a fish. It's a sea creature, not necessarily a fish, and perhaps a boneless, like I said, a boneless boneless invertebrate. Perhaps if you look in the Pnei Moshe commenting on that Yerushalmi in 52, he says at the end, the last line is all we need in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel of Shabbos, Diva Masav Elo Michilazon Shamanu Bahare Min Tolasu. Okay, that's a Shabbos issue, but I'm interested in the fact that he says that the chilazon is min tolas. It's like a worm. Tolas is a worm. Right? Look, well, the truth of the matter is, the snail without its shell looks like a worm. If you take off its fancy shell, so taka looks like a worm. That's a min tolas. So that's, again, doesn't have to be a fish. It's like a slug, perhaps. There's a medrash in Dvarim Rabbah, Parshas Kisovo, Parshas Zayin, Siman Yud Aleph, in the next source, in 53. The medrash there says, on the pasuk that speaks about the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, so they didn't need to clean their clothes, because their clothes got cleaned automatically, and the clothes, they didn't buy new clothes either. Some of them have little children, so Mitzvah, one day you have little children, you don't have, so every 3 months you have to buy, Baruch Hashem, the child grows, you have to keep buying new clothes. So what do they do in the Midbar with little kids? The answer is the clothes grew with them. So the Medrash comments on that Pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar and so on, their clothes never wore out and it grew with them. Okay? Look at the last line. A snail grows, so its shell grows with it. You have a baby snail, so it has a very small shell. So when the snail gets bigger, how does that same shell protect them and so on and so forth? How does he get in and out of the same shell or a turtle, any of these things? The answer is the shell grows with it. So it's the same idea in the Midbar that the clothes grew with them. Fine. But what do you see from that medrash? The chilazon is something that has a shell. Because it says, chilozon is a kishagodam albusho, its outer garment, so to speak, the shell, grows with the same thing in Shir Hashirim, Rabbah Parshal, or Pasuk Yirawah, from the next source, in 54, same thing. It speaks about chilozon, shakozman, shugodal, nartiko. I mean, nartiko is a shell. Nartiko, godal, imo. The Rambam in the Parish HaMishnah, Kalim, Parakut Beis Mishnah Aleph, also speaks about having a shell. It's a tzav shell, balchayos, a shell. Hanikra chilozon. He calls it a chilozon also. Rashi in Sanhedrin, Sari Alam and Aleph, Divamasa chilozon also refers to it as a tolas, as a type of worm. Again, it's like a worm without the shell. It looks like a worm or a slug. In fact, the Ritva on a tzugya back in Shabbos, and Ayin Hayim et Aleph in the next source, number 57. The Ritva writes, he quotes that Rabbeinu Zal b'shem Rabbo Rabbeinu Gadol perish d'shani chilozen she'eno ba'alevarm elaguf atum. It's sort of like a opaque type of body, like the worms that hang around the garbage can. Like after rain, sometimes you see slugs and these other smaller, I don't know what you can call them. I don't know what they're, those little white things you see sometimes by the garbage. Huh?
Maggots.
Maggots or whatever, these types of, I don't know if it's, but these types of things, yeah. Anyway, you see the, yeah.
Doesn't goof often mean limbless? Like in
okay. Maybe. Okay, yeah. I thought it was also clear, but you're right, you're right. It could mean either one, but it would actually fit better to say that it's a limo. No, that's maybe. Okay. Anyway, good. So we've seen so far, we've seen about the color, we've seen about the chilozen, what the chilozen is, and so on. So good. So what happened for the last centuries? I mean, the Torah tells us you have to have tchelos and tzitzis. So whatever the color is, let's assume we saw many people say it's a blue or a bluish color similar to indigo, and it's got to come from the chilozen, so we've identified chilozen can be a snail, doesn't have to be a fish, and so on. So what exactly happened, you know, that we haven't been wearing tchelos and tzitzis tchelos for all these years, okay? So, by the way, the Chiddush Aran, I forgot to say, but 50 also says the same thing. Shabbos Kuzam and Aleph also says about the, you know, that it's like the worms in the garbage. Okay, anyway, what exactly happened? So I do want to mention, because, you know, we have all these terms, chilozon, an important thing. There were medrashim that the chilozon comes out only once every 70 years. Now, there's a Yad Raman, Sanhedrin, it's important, 59, Tzadi Aleph and Aleph. I point out this Yad Ramah because there are different types of chilozon. And just because something is identified as a chilozon does not necessarily mean, oh, that's the one that the tzitzis comes from, the tzitzis dye comes from. That's why I'm showing you that. It's an important Yad Ramah, because sometimes you'll see things quoted by chilozon and say, well, this snail or that fish or whatever you want to identify nowadays as the source of tail, it doesn't match this gemara, it doesn't match that. Okay. It's a kasha, and sometimes a strong kasha, but with the Yad Ramah, perhaps he suggests not every reference to chilozon that we have in the Gemara is necessarily a reference to the chilozon that produces the tchelos dye. Okay, anyway, when did tchelos disappear? So there is a Gemara again, the same sugi menachos mem gimel and aleph, source number 60. The Gemara says, Mar mi mashke, that was Rashi says in the next, Mar is in Shem Chocha, mashke is in a place, Mar so and so from mashke, I see tchilta b'shnei Rav Achai. He had tchelos in the days of Rav Achai. Okay, he had tchelos in those days. And but kul b'divitzik b'reid Rav Yehuda v'ifrit chazusa v'rav adav v'shtanim alusa. They did the different tests that we were talking about before, and according to one test, it faded. Different. Anyway, and he said that maybe it's not tchelos, not kalilon, whatever it is. But I point out that he had or thought he had tchelos in the days of Rav Achai. Okay, now who exactly was Rav Achai? So we know about the Shultas of Rachai. Was that the Rachai? That's already later. That's in the time of the, you know, the Golden Release Rabban and Svaroi. There is a Tosus in Zvachim, Kuf Beis and Beis, in the next source, 62. Tosus in Zvachim says, it speaks about Rachai. Also, Mitoch Chachai Omer Ben Shmuel, Duhu Rachai, Sheosa Shultos, Shehoya Mirabban and Svaroi. Tosus says that the Rachai that's referred to occasionally in the Gemara, once in a while, not too often. I remember when I learned in the Kola, so if there would be a Tosis, and we were learning with the Shechta, so maybe you remember as well, so if there was a Tosis that quoted the Shilta, something like that, that was always on the test. No, like, the Tosis brought in something from the Shilta, it was like a Shechta always like to ask from that. But anyway, you know, you remember that also? No. So, yeah. So anyway, so it's Rav Achai, Rabban Tzoroi, with the Rabban after the Amoraim, after the Chasinus HaTam in the days of Ravina Rashi, in the mid-500s roughly, until about 750, the days of the Gaonim. So according to this opinion, Tosfos, Rav Achai, so in the days of Rabban and Svaroi, people apparently still had Tchelos. And the Geras of Shira Gaon mentions Rav Achai from that time. But at least at the time of the Rabban and Svaroi, they had Tchelos. By the time of the Gaonim already, they didn't have Tchelos. And the question is exactly why not and what happened. Of course, there's got to be a certain amount of speculation. So, not a question. Oh, okay. So,
Yes,
yeah, so that's a question of what that means. Is that an exaggeration? Does that mean the same chilozon? Yeah, that's a problem. In the Tshuvas HaGaonim, There's many collections of Tshuvas Hagaonim, especially they keep printing more now. But the classic collection was called Shari Tshuva, Simon Kuf Nun Tes, the next source, 64. There it says, Kishahoyot Cheles B'Yad Yisrael. That's from the days of Hagaonim, and it speaks about in past tense. Kishahoyot, when there was Cheles, etc., etc. Meaning, apparently they didn't have it. Whatever the Shari Tshuva, that collection of Gaoni, the Tshuvas Hagaonim, were put together, they didn't have it already. The Ramban, in the Mechamas and Shabbos, you'd raise them at Aleph in the pages of the Rift. Next source, Ramban writes, "Vare avos kadmonim mimos hagaonim." The early authorities from the days of the Gaonim, writes Ramban, "Nagu lots of talos sheish b'lovan below tchelas." Already wore tchelas with lovan, talos with lovan, and not tchelas. So it seems the Rav Achai was kind of in the middle. Rabban and Svaroi, they still had tchelas, or some people still had tchelas. By the days of the Gaonim, based on what looks like from the Tshuvas Hagaonim and what looks like Tesson Ramban, they didn't seem to have tchelas in existence anymore. There's a Sifrei in Parshas Habrocha and Piskashun Nun Dal, the Sifrei, the end of the Chumash. Amar Biosi says he was walking someplace and he met a fellow and he asked, "What do you do for a living?" And he says that I find chalazon. He said, "Where can you find them?" And he tells us how it rains and the chalazon appear. Again, sounds like that's a biosi. That's earlier, but as I said before, based on the Yad Ramah, that may not necessarily be the same chalazon that produces the tzitzis. You have to look into that. There's a medrash in the Bamidbar Rabbah, an important medrash, 67, Parsha Shlach, Parsha Yudzayin, Simon Hey, a mitzvah of milovan tchelas, and so on. But ba'achshav ein lanu el lovan shatchelas nignaz. Chelas is in the Genesis and it's put away. We don't have anymore, in plain English. That's how the Medjur, we don't have, that's the Medjur says in Parsha Shlach, the Medjur Shabbat, Rabbah, Medjur Tanchuma in Parsha Shlach also says in Oz Tezvav, Achshav Ein Lano El Olovan, Chelas Nignaz, so the Mitzvah is Beloven. And so too, the three great Amodei Harah from the time of the Rishonim, okay, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh, all say the Rif writes in his Halachas Tanis, that's printed in the back of Maseches Menachos, as you know, Hilchos Tzitzis, Tav Yudim Obey, Yudgim Obey, Va'idna de Leslan Tcheles. Nowadays, we don't have Tcheles. The Rambam in the Tshuva, in Sim Kuflam and Ches, in the Tshuva's Rambam, also writes, Abel Achshav Ho, Ve'ein Lano El Lovin Bavav, we don't have Tcheles anymore. And the Rosh in Halachas Tanis, again printed in the back of Maseches Menachos, in Hilchos Tzitzis, Sim Tazvav, also writes that, near the Dafka, Sheesh Tchelis, it's about how do you count, how you tie them in the Nafkaminas, and he also says, Havala Idna, Sheen Lanu Tchelis, and so on and so forth. Yeah.
Going back, who wrote the
Midbar Rabbah? Well, the Medrash Tanchuma is, the Medrash Rabbah Tanchuma, okay, that's early. Okay, the Medrash Rabbah, so it's from the time of the Tanaim, I mean, it would appear, right? So that seems to be a steer, that's what you're saying. Yeah. The problem is like this, many Midrashim, stuff was added, you know, we don't exactly know when the Medrash that we have down in front of us today were all the parts, you know, for example, Pirkei d'Eliezer, was that all written in the Rebbeleza HaGadol, on the Tanoim, right, the Rebbe Akiva. So Rebbeleza HaGadol, it starts with a member of Rebbeleza, it means the whole Pirkei d'Eliezer is from Rebbeleza, probably not, the assumption is probably not. Or Ovis to Reb Nosson, you know, the Reb Nosson is also Tana. It means everything in there is from Reb Nosson, so that's a problem, you know. You're asking the overlaps. I don't know. The answer is I don't know, because some of the midrashim certainly can be later. It would not be a steerer to say, you know, that, you know, again, this is not in the Sifra and the Sifri, that we know, you know, Stam Sifra and some we have Gemara to talk about it, but the Medrash Rabbah, I don't know. The Medrash Rabbah could be later. It's a compilation. You know? It's a compilation. Certainly, there are statements in the Medrash Rabbah from the regular Tanoim that we know about from, you know, from Mishnayos, but that doesn't mean everything. So it's an interesting question. Yeah.
Further
question. Okay, further question. Okay, interesting one. Could be. There's a suggestion that what happened in the days, what happened exactly, and this, but also, and by the way, it could have been different in different places, you know, even within Eretz Yisrael. Maybe that the next source will mention that. In source number 7, in the next source, what is it? 70. So the Gemara has 72. Sanhedrin Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Hashochol Eile Rava. This was an encrypted message, you know, a coded message. Zug ba. Some of you may learn this in the Senate. I didn't see Zug ba mirekes v'tof so nesher uviyad v'dvar manas abeluz. What is zug? Rashi says shnei tamanich hachamim came from a place called Rekes. That's probably Tveria. Rashi says right. And v'tof so nesher. They were caught by an eagle. What's an eagle? That's a Simarom, Roman eagle, right? It's a chel. Romoyim, what were they doing? They had dvorim hanasim hanasa beluz umayniu tcheles. They had stuff to manufacture tcheles. Okay, apparently in Luz, and whether Luz is the same Luz in the Chumash is another problem. But anyway, they got out, and they were saved, and so on. But what do you see from there? What were they caught? Apparently, there's some who suggest that tcheles, or the means of making them, was contraband. The Romans prohibited people, other than with a royal permit or whatever, to manufacture tcheles. Because tcheles was considered, this we know from non-Jewish sources, was considered garb fit only for the royal, you know, the noblemen and so on. You had the stripes and so on and so forth, and then only the wealthy people, and only nobility, average person, wasn't permitted to wear such a thing. So this Gemara, if we learn it this way, seems to indicate that's how the Ben Yehoyada, from the Ben Ishchai, not the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's not on the sheets, it's not on the computer, or at least in the version I have, but the Ben Yehoyada says that it was a Xeris Malchus. Okay, now we know about something called Tyrian purple, again, from non-Jewish sources. This was an expensive and exclusive type of dye that the average person was not permitted to. It was assigned, you know, like in America also, if you're a sergeant, you have this number of stripes and this number of... So if you had ranks, so only certain people were permitted to wear. And tcheles, we know, was something which was, you know, precious and a sign of nobility. The Ramban and Chumash points that out. The next source, the Ramban and Chumash, points out in Parshas Tetzaveh, on the Pasuk L'chavar Sifaris, in the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, by the Big Day Kuna, the Ramban and Chumash writes, V'atcheles gam hayom, the Ramban is already later, obviously, lo yorim ishes yado lilbo shchutz mimelech goyim. No one has the chutzpah, no one has the right to wear such a thing, unless you're from the royal, we know from right, let's say, from Purim, U'mordechai yotzem lifnei ha-melech bilvus malchus, tcheles v'chor, right? When he got his elevation to his position, so Mordechai, Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzolov, Samech, Barosam Yachad, tcheles Mordechai, right? And with that, wow, Mordechai's wearing tcheles, that's already that's much earlier, but even in ancient times, and as late as the Ramban, it was considered to be, you know, a royal type of thing. So, the supposition, perhaps, the suggestion is that when the Romans prohibited average people from wearing it, so the Jews weren't allowed to wear this color. That's the implication. Like Moran Sanhedrin was a contraband. They got caught by the soldiers smuggling whatever tcheles material. So maybe that's how the tcheles disappeared. We don't know exactly. I mean, again, the Medrash uses the term nigmaz. It doesn't mean it has to be intentional. Yeah. Oh. So just to finish up, so the just historically, so in the 1880s, the great Gershon Henoch Leiner, the Radziner Rebbe, made it a sort of a mission of his to try and uncover what is the real source of the tcheles. He did a lot. He was also a genius. He wrote several svarim, Ein tcheles, Psil tcheles, Svunei tmunei chol, in the back of which he has something about Erevin. Anyway, it's available. They reprinted it recently, but you can get these svarim. And he explains why he did a lot of research, and he went to a famous aquarium. I don't know if it was the first aquarium ever. The famous aquarium in Naples, Naples, Italy, not Florida. He went to Naples, Italy, and he saw different creatures there, and he came to the conclusion that the chalazon taka was a dog. Never mind that gone. It was a dog, a real fish, called the cuttlefish. That's what he assumed. It was a type of squid. Okay, and that's what the Radziner dyed in that color, and he had correspondence with all the Gdolim of his time, and many people thought he was crazy, whatever it was, but he was accepted by his Chassidim, and to this day, Radziner Chassidim, and I think some Breslover Chassidim also, I don't know if all Breslover, but many Breslovers and Radziner Chassidim to this day wear this color, this blue. Rav Herzog, as I said before, investigated this thoroughly, and he came to the unfortunate, he never met the Radziner Rebbe, he died. Radziner Rebbe died before Herzog got born, I think, or sort of before he got involved in this project. But he corresponded. We have those letters too. The Radziner Rebbe, we'll finish off. The Herzog corresponded with the dye makers in Radzin, you know, to find out what their formula is and so on and so forth. And he did, as I said before, he was a big expert in science. And it turned out he was devastated because he had great, the Gershon Henoch Leiner was a great Hasidic Rebbe, a great Talmud Chacham. It turned out that it was inorganic. The dye was not from this fish at all. And it turns out that he had been duped, basically, by an unscrupulous chemist. The Radziner Rebbe didn't know the chemistry as well, and he had been tricked. Because the Radziner Rebbe, Rav Herzog, said there was absolutely no way that a god like the Radziner Rebbe would have intentionally... But basically, Rav Herzog said, it's just wrong. I mean, you could add these mixtures to anything, and it would come out the blue. Got nothing to do with the cuttlefish. So he basically slugged up that with an irony, in an irony of history, when after the Holocaust, the community in Radzin, like most Jewish communities in Europe, destroyed, including all their, many of the people were killed, you know, and then the dye factories were, so when they reconstituted the Radzina community in Eretz Yisrael after the war, so they wanted to resume dyeing their tchelas, that's what the Rebbe said, so that's what they wore, but they didn't have the stuff, everything was destroyed, but Rav Herzog had the correspondence with the dye makers, so Rav Herzog gave them his letters, so they were able to figure out how to do it. So at the very same time that Herzog in effect slugged up their trailers, he was responsible for keeping it alive to this day because they used his letters that he had had with the Radzina dye makers. In any event, so he knew about the Murex snail. Give me 5 more minutes. So Rav Herzog writes about this Murex snail that the people use today, and he liked it and met many of the criteria and so on and so forth. But there were a couple of problems. One is he couldn't get with, you know, the Dome Elayam. He just said, how this creature didn't look like, you know, he saw this snail, and, you know, it's a polished snail, and so, you know, he saw it in the laboratory, you know, there's no way that this creature itself is Dome Elayam in any way. Just he couldn't get past that. And also, it didn't really make a blue. It made a purplish color. And so, therefore, he suggested another type of creature called the Janthina, which I don't know if he was totally convinced about it and so on. Just, and again, in an ironic twist, what they discovered later in the group now, this Petit Chelis group that you know, my brother was involved in, so you know, they some more modern Israeli scholars, so to speak, not Chacham, but you know, people interested in dyes and colors and so on, and one Talmud Chacham wrote a book called Chelis or Burstein. They did work and they realized two things. First of all, when you see the where did Herzog, I'll tell you, my brother-in-law got involved, and my brother-in-law, a couple other American fellows got involved in this because. There's a Rav, a Yerushalmi Rav, I remember Rav Tevger, Rav Tevger has written several Sorum. I met him a few times, big Talmud Chacham, but he, you know, was interested in this, picking up the Rav Herzog's work, so he put an ad in for anybody interested in going, knows how to do scuba diving. So my brother-in-law went to Columbia, and his gym was scuba diving, and why we didn't have scuba diving as a gym. But in Columbia, I had scuba diving, so he knew how to scuba dive too. So that's how he got involved in this. He met up with this fellow, and he went scuba diving. He said, you go to the bottom, we know this, you go to the bottom of the ocean, where all these kilosons, all these Murex snails are, their color blends right into the seabed. Dome Elayam. The yam can mean, we know, Sochayam by Abosh, and so the yam can refer to the seabed. So Taka is, and they suggested maybe Rav Herzog didn't do scuba diving. So if Rav Herzog would have seen it in its natural habitat, he may have been more convinced, because that's Taka Dome Elayam. The other interesting thing is that if they again, by accident, some chemist figured out that if you do the dyeing process, Rav Herzog did the dyeing process in a science lab, you know, in a chemistry lab, and it kept coming out purple. That's why he rejected it. However, if you do it in natural sunlight, it produces blue. Rav Herzog apparently didn't see that. He didn't do it outside. In the ancient times, they didn't have labs. Everything was done outside, right? So that's just an interesting thing regarding the Murex. Just to finish up, you know, I just printed some sources. I have to read this, not you know, not so pivotal. Just that there are those who say, yeah, but how can we take scientific, evidence or evidence from archaeology and evidence here, you know, they found many shells of chilos and so on, and many archaeological proofs and so on. How do we accept that? Well, the truth of the matter is, I just want to point out, if Shechta pointed this out, it's not my chiddush. There's a sugyan Baba Basra in Gimel Beis Ein Daman Aleph that's called the Guzmos of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. It's a fascinating, I don't call them tales, the stories of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. He saw this and he saw that. Anyway, he ran into some Arab somewhere who showed him, I want to show you where the Mesa Midbar are buried. I'll show you. Well, you know where the Mesa Midbar are buried? I'm going to show them to you. So they went into some sort of a cave with the animal and so on and so forth. So he saw that they were wearing tzitzis. So there's a machokas, Beisham Beisil, about a tying and so on, how many strings, this and that. Okay, so he wanted to cut off. He did cut off. That's I'm saying the Gemara outside. Baba Basa, I'm giving him what I'll and you're welcome to keep these sheets. I'll look at it later. You look in the Rashbam there. So he explains that he wanted to bring this knaf of the garment to back to the Beis Medrash to show he found from the Mesa Midbar, Mistama, whatever sheet that follows, that's how we're going to paskin, right? But he tried to get out, and the animal couldn't leave. Apparently, the Arab explained to him, the Arab nomad or Bedouin, or whatever he was, explained to him, you can't take anything from here. You tried to sneak a souvenir, you know, the door's locked. It's like walking out of the YU library. It's going to ring or whatever. They're not going to let you out. So they wouldn't let him out, so he couldn't take it. So he came back to the Beis Medrash, and he told him what he saw, and they said, you fool! Said, why don't you look at it? Why don't you write it down? He couldn't tell them what he saw, right? So they were angry. But the implication of that Gemara was that if he would have been able to see what he saw, that's archaeological evidence, right? That's, even though the machlokes b'sham b'sila, but they were willing to entertain and weighing the halacha based on that gemara. Or you have the story again. I printed it, but they'll say outside, right? Of machlokes by tefillin, Rashi and Tam, what the order of the tefillin, the four parshas in the tefillin, right? So you all know that machlokes. So the tour quotes. I'm sorry, the Bach, and that's in Siman Lamed Dal in Or Chaim. The Bach quotes that they found by the Kever of Yechezkel, they found the Geniza, and they found old pairs of tefillin, and they followed the order of Rashi and the Rambam. So the Raya for old tefillin, so someone said, no, there's no Raya, that's why they were in the Geniza, because they were wrong. that went Sheamus. But again, you see from that Gemara, they were willing to entertain the possibility of finding something that should influence the halacha. And again, so archaeology and this kind of stuff, or language, the Gemara has in Megillah and Daf Yud Ches, that they didn't know what a certain word meant until Rebbe's the maid, she said that word, you know, what's Seirugin? That's how come to Megillah. It says, Karas and Megillah Seirugin. You know, it means when you read it out of order, it says, so they didn't know what the word Seirugin meant until the Amsa Debay, was Amsa Debay Rebbe, she said what it means, various other words as well. So obviously, archaeological evidence, language cannot establish a halacha, create a psak, obviously. But it can support a psak, perhaps. It can establish a metzias. All right, establish a metzias and support a psak. That's what I wanted to, you know, just to end off with. People know that the Beis Halevi objected strongly to the Radzina Rebbe's Tchelis, but what the objection was is subject to different opinions. If you look in Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter's first sefer about the Rav, so in the first volume, for Nefesh HaRav, in the first volume, he has a chapter there about the Mesorah. So he said that the Rav said, but the Beis Halevi didn't want to accept the Radzina Rebbe's Tchelis because there was no Mesorah on it. We had no Mesorah. And once a tradition has kind of been broken, so then you can't recreate it. You have to have, quote-unquote, a positive Mesorah in order to use it. But if you look, Rav Shechter writes in the footnote that if you look in, first of all, he quotes these Gemaras I just mentioned, you know, about archaeological evidence, but he or other outside evidence, but he mentions that the way the Radzina Rebbe writes it, because the Radzina Rebbe in one of his farm prints the Beis Halevi's objection, he prints his response, Kachi Da'akav Shetorah. So he said that's not, he doesn't print the Beis Halevi, not the, he just, the Beis Halevi said that the, if the cuttlefish is right, that's the Radzina, well, we know about the cuttlefish, it's a common fish, and yet we didn't use it, so it's like a negative Mesorah, so to speak. That's what the Beis Halevi, not saying that you need a new, you can't create a new, once a Mesorah is broken, you need a positive Mesorah, you just can't. All right, so the question of what the Radzina Rebbe meant, but the Beis Halevi, I just printed both from the Tshuvos HaMaharil HaKadoshos, Simen Hei, and the Tshuvos HaRadvaz, Chelek Beis, Simen Tov Reish Pei Hei, that it could be reintroduced. They both say that the Maharil says that, you know, maybe there'll come a time you'll get the Tchelis again, and the Radvaz writes, Efshir, in the second last source, Efshir Sh'ara Yomu Motzi, El Shein Makirin also. Maybe it's around today, we just don't know. Perhaps today we do know. The Beis Halevi himself says, in the last source, the Chelek Aleph, Simen Mem Beis, in his Tshuvos, he says that he thinks, if you know that it's the right Tchelis, then to wear tzitzis without the tchelis will be a violation of baltigra. We just assume baltigra means to tie. It's important Beis Halevi for the dinim of baltigra. You know, he says baltigra doesn't mean, let's say, to have three corners instead of four. Having three corners is not baltigra, it's nothing. It's zero. So what is baltigra? He said baltigra is, if you have tchelis, you don't put it on. Okay, he didn't think that was the right tchelis, he didn't put it on. But Alamais, if you think that is the right tchelis, so then you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah b'shleimusa. As I said before, this is a subject out of some controversy today, but this hopefully will give you some sort of an overview into the Metzias. Thank you very much. Okay. This goes to Henry Ulansky? Mm-hmm. Close to